Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, and our God, our Redeemer, the rock of our faith, the love of our souls. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. Happy Sabbath. We pray that you had a good evening, Sabbath morning, and that you were blessed on yesterday. We have our brother Isaiah coming this morning with the precept. He who overcomes shall not be in danger of the lake of fire. Amen to that. And we pray that you hear this, brother, and hear the word of Yah on this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read our confession of faith, and then I'm going to turn it over to my brother and let him come as Yah puts it in his heart to come. Our confession of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe that I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. We thank you, Father. We glorify you and we lift you up, Father. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. There is no Elohim like unto you. And now, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my brother. Peace and blessings, Brother Isaiah.
Hey, peace and blessings, Brother Miles. Grace and peace, bro. Happy Sabbath to you. Peace unto you,
Happy
your
Sabbath.
Household, and to everybody else that's on the Blog Talk Show. Happy Sabbath, bro.
Happy Sabbath. I turn it over to you, my brother. I'm going to sit back and just eat.
Amen. Hey, grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, and definitely for tuning in to Yah's Go with Kingdom. And dealing with my part of the podcast today, which is the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah, and I'm teaching a lesson today, and I'm also reading today. I hope everybody is having a very blessed week, and I hope everybody is having a very great Sabbath. Definitely, if you have the chance and opportunity to rest, as the Most High God has commanded us to do. Grace and peace, family. And the name of the precept is called, He who overcomes shall not be in danger of the lake of fire. You know, it's because when you read these scriptures, you know, the Lord showed me some pretty interesting things according to the precept that we're dealing with today. You know, we're going to look up this word overcome, you know, and we're going to figure out things because, you know, a lot of people look at overcome and get weary of it. You know, it's like, man, I got to overcome this, overcome that, overcome this, overcome that. Yeah, you do have to overcome. But if you really look at how the Lord is telling us is that He wants us to have self-control over everything that come our very way, you know, to be able to make better decisions, you know, and to be able to have self-control over ourselves, you know. And some things we can do a pretty good job of overcoming. But if you are truly a servant of God, there are going to be some things, and definitely being a servant of God, with a servant of God, there's no small demons that's going to try to come our way. The devil's going to come with everything he can. But at the same point in time, we need to understand that the Bible said that all things is possible through the Most High God that sitteth in the third heaven. You know? So even though you might have issues, you know, you might have problems with overcoming things, you might have faith problems and stuff like that. But if you look in the book of Revelations, the Bible said, because you have held on with little strength, He's going to keep you from the hour of temptation. So if He's going to keep you from the hour of temptation, He might just, you know, you might just kick the bucket and pass away and get the shot at the kingdom, or the Lord might prepare you a place that's going to be prepared for us at that appointed time in the wilderness, to the point that you don't have to deal with what the Lord is going to bring on this earth. And also, the ones that have to be tried during the Great Tribulation. But the book simply said, because you had little strength. Remember, the Bible said, if you have the faith of mustard seed, He'll deal with you. But the whole thing is do we believe it? Do we believe it? You know? So this whole overcoming thing, this whole thing about overcoming is overcoming yourself. It might not. Some days it might be easy, some days it might not be easy. But you better believe that if the Lord see that you're trying, he'll still work with you. Once you throw the towel in and just say, skip it, I'm just going back into this world, I'm going to go catch up on all the things I used to do and just forget about God, like how the Israelites did when it came to the prophets, you know, definitely Ezekiel and Jeremiah and them like that, you know, when they just completely dropped the ball into the point that the Lord said, if you just keep the Sabbath day, I'll keep you in the land. It's because the Lord had to lower his standards that much because the lack of faith in people doing what they want to do. You see, we're not trying to get to that point. But at the same point in time is that we're just trying to overcome ourselves, overcome our flesh, and just do the best we can. Remember, your best is different than my best. My best might be a 7. Your best might be a 9. Somebody's best might be a 6 or a 4 or a 3. But who was able to perform that number that God has given them to keep it at that level? This is why the book is telling us to offend less. Not being a super brew, not being a super saint, not thinking that your light, so I mean, not to be like you got this gloom or glow behind your head that you're not going to mess up at all. You know, this precept is not going to put us in the viewpoint of being a super saint, but just simply the real world. The real world, the real things that service go through, the real things that we fight through. The real things on holding on and being strong, regardless whatever is being thrown your way. This is what this precept is about. So I'm going to start us on the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to read the Psalms reading, and we're going to get into the precepts. So all sisters, please cover your head, and brothers, please uncover your head. And let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to pull out a Psalms reading, and we're going to get right into the precept. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all the diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sacrificeth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He that he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandment to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye all his angels, that excel his strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The reading was taking place in the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verses 1 through 22. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, now it's time for us to get into this precept, and it's time for us to understand what thus said the Lord. Amen. So in case you have any new listeners coming in, the name of the precept one more time is called, he who overcomes should not be in danger of the lake of fire. Right? So if you can overcome yourself, if you can overcome the things that you like as pleasure, you know, if you can overcome all those things, whatever battle you have in the flesh, you know, whether it be wrath, anger, envy, jealousy, lack of faith, you know what I'm saying, you name it. You know, if you have it, you know, then we should overcome it. Do the best we can to overcome every single thing that is in us. Some things might be easy. Some things might take time. Some things you might get a bigger demon, which means that you have to fast and pray to get it off. Because when the disciples couldn't get that demon off and the Lord got a little irritated, he just went on and told them, man, that you know that's, you know, the disciples was like, Lord, how come we couldn't cast the devil out? He said, man, you know, this one you won't be able to cast out. But sometimes, you know, in order to get one out, you got to pray and fast just to get a demon off of you. You got big demons, you got little demons, you got small, you got medium demons, you know. But the Bible said all things is possible. So if you have an anger issue, or if you have a wrath issue, you know, if you got issues with lasciviousness, if you even had issues with lust, and I'm saying all these things right now because we're talking about in this flesh, it is possible to overcome them. But in order to overcome them, you need time, patience, long-suffering with yourself, not to be pointing a finger at other people, doing good and will. You got your own battles in the flesh. You know, and this should keep us at a more humble level because we know that we're trying to get ourselves right too. We should keep ourselves right. Excuse me. I'm on my podcast, baby, okay? I'll talk to you later. You know? But the whole thing is that the Lord has given us enough time to get hold of this flesh and to do better with our flesh before this time appointed, before the Lord make his coming, before the second resurrection. The Lord is trying to gird us and get us right to overcome our flesh. But we're talking about the lake of fire, so let's check out this lake of fire. Let's check out this lake of fire we don't want no part of. Let us go into the book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. And what we're going to do is read verse 15. Just one verse. Book of Revelation 20 and 15. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was to the lake of fire. So if you don't overcome, you know, things just get worse, worse, and worse. The Lord don't see you trying. The Lord don't see you trying to beat off that flesh. The Lord see you falling off and you just stay laying down. There's a time that the Lord is going to come and visit us. But the books say he will come and visit you when you're not aware of him. So when you're caught in your folly and mess, that's when he's right there. But what the book is telling us is, in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and 15 is that if your name ain't in the book of life, then you go into the fire. And in order for you to go to the fire, that means you have not overcame yourself. There are other ways to go to the fire, but we're only dealing with this one according to this precept. We're talking about overcoming. If we don't overcome ourselves, if we don't overcome the things that keep us down, the things that we love to lust over, and I'm talking about myself too, there's going to be a time if we don't get a hold of ourselves, it might not be looking too good for us. But there's also something else about this lake of fire we don't want no part of either. Now let's go into the book of Mark chapter 9. The book of Mark chapter 9. The book of Mark chapter 9, and all we want is verse 48. Because we're talking about the lake of fire, And this is also that's going to be in the lake of fire we want a part of. For everyone shall be, verse 48, where their worms dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So if our names, if we don't overcome ourselves, if we don't overcome the things, this, you know what, this is why I'm so strict on when the Bible says to deliver yourself from this untoward generation. There's nothing wrong with being a helping hand and showing people the way, you know, but you can do all those things just by your behavior on your everyday walk. You can be teaching people all day and night and not say one word. Just by your actions, you can be teaching people. But the same point of time is that this is why I'm so firm on when the book say, deliver yourself from this untoward generation. Worry about yourself. Because the Lord mentioned righteous men like Samuel, Moses, and Elijah and stuff like that. He said, even when these people was among them, these righteous people, I still can keep my face towards these hard-headed people. Because these righteous men that the Lord named off, they are only able to deliver themselves. So there's nothing wrong with a helping hand. It ain't nothing wrong with loving. It ain't nothing wrong with teaching people what's right. There's nothing wrong with being a helping hand. There's nothing wrong with being a motivational speaker to help a person to get through another day. Praise God, keep doing it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing we need to understand. At the end of the day, you can only deliver yourself. So when we run in this race, we can't be looking back trying to slow down and pick somebody else's hand up. They might pass me up, and I might be the last crown. But what we can do is focus and run this race for ourselves. Because if we don't overcome ourselves, we understand that we're getting slung and body slammed in the lake of fire. And we also just read in the book of Mark that the worms going to be tearing us apart and the fire ain't slowing down. You mean to tell me I'm going to be tormented for billions of years? The pain, I'm not getting used to the pain? My flesh is still being ripped and chewed up by spiritual worms? And fire and brimstone? The book even said, bound them hand and foot. When you read the book of Matthew 25 when it comes to the talent, bound them hand and foot is going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth. So you mean tell me I'm not going to be able to move too? I'm too focused on myself. And I ain't saying that I'm perfect because I got my own stupidity I'm trying to work on. But the same point of time is that if we don't overcome, this is what we might be having coming. So we understand that this lake of fire is a part we want nothing of. We also understood too that the worms don't die and the fire is not going to slow down on us. It's going to still be here. So if we don't overcome ourselves, this is what we have coming. But so what should we do to make sure that this nightmare we just read? Matter of fact, this type of thing we're talking about, it make a nightmare a happy dream. But if we don't want no part of this disaster, we got to understand we got to do something first. Let's go into the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is what we have to do. And what we're going to do is just pick it up in verse 5. Revelation 3 and 5. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come in thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Oh, yeah, we weren't supposed to read that. I'm sorry. It's Revelation 3, but I meant to say verse 5, so forgive me. Let's read verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So if we overcome ourselves, if we overcome the things we like, if we overcome who we are in this flesh, the Lord said that he's going to clothe us in white raiment, and he will not blot out our name out of the book of life, and he will confess us to the Father and his angels. But in order for that to happen, we got to maintain this flesh, get it in order. Ain't talking about it's not going to go left sometimes, but it should be going more right than going left. This is why the book is telling us to offend less. This is not no super Hebrew holy conversation that just make you think that Jesus is going to walk a perfect life all day and night. We're not talking like that. I'm letting you know that everybody on this podcast and in this world has something that they have to battle to overcome to the day they die. What the book is telling us is if we maintain our flesh, if we maintain our spirit, if we keep moving forward, if we keep fighting it off, you know, so if we keep on doing better, then praise God. But that don't mean that you might not slip off sometimes. The whole thing is that a servant of God is supposed to be more on the right side of righteousness than their shortcomings. Fight off them shortcomings. Keep yourself busy in the vineyard. Keep working on yourself. You know you got problems with something? Read the Bible and figure out how to get it done yourself. But we need to overcome ourselves so we don't have to deal with Revelation 20 and Mark chapter 9. Because I don't want no part of that. Because some things in this flesh might be hard. You know, you might have an attitude problem, you might have an anger issues problem. You know, you might have, you know, you might be, you know, in your thoughts, you might have like a little lust problem and stuff like that. You know, sometimes it feels like you don't know which way to go. But when you feel like you don't have no which way to go, is one thing that a servant must have to understand. It's something we must understand. No matter how bad things get, we still have this certain thing that we need that God has promised us. So let's check this thing out. Let us go into the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 37. All we want is Luke 1 and 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So even though it might seem like, man, no matter what I do, man, I got an issue with this, I got an issue with that, Lord, but I'm trying. But after looking at this passage, the book is telling you, man, just still keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. The Lord know how strong we are. The Lord know how well we can do. Why do you think when Peter was talking to the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm ready to die. Lord, I'm ready to die with you. And he said, man, you're going to deny me 3 times, man. What you talking about? So when we be like that, we like, Lord, I'm gonna do this for you, God. I'm gonna do that. I ain't gonna do that. Lord, I'm gonna work on your work. I'm gonna do everything right for you, Lord. I promise I'm gonna do everything right. Lord, be like, well, your heart in the right place, but you gonna mess up 150 times before you get to that point you're talking about. But should this stop us from being that person who we are? No. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do righteousness every day, because I know I want to. But the same point of time is that you have to give yourself room to grow. You know, you might have, you know, you will have to live life. And when you live life, life comes with mistakes. The mistakes is what make you better. The mistakes is what's going to get you stronger. The mistakes is going to keep you going. Because you will learn what to do and what not to do. You know what to say, and you will know what not to say. You're going to know what type of thought that is, whether from God or the devil. You'll be able to do better with your righteous life through the mistakes you make. So we be praying all day and night, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I can't wait for this, I can't wait for that. And the Lord could be like, yeah, that's good. But you still got a long way to go. So I'm not going to even hold you to that pedestal you put yourself on. Because at this moment, you're not there. Because the Lord knows what level you are on. If God has given every man and woman on this earth a level 1 through 10, 10 is perfect righteousness. He knows some of us is a 4. He knows some of us is an 8. He knows some of us is a 7. He knows some of us is a 2. And the ones that is probably learning this thing right now, he knows some is on a 1. So what I'm telling you is, whatever your number is, be that and try to overcome and do better with it. Know who you are. Know who you are. Know what your shortcomings is. Know what gets you out of line. And work on it. Try your best to overcome every single thing. Not try, but do it. Overcome who you are. Sometimes it's easier said than done. But the Bible said all things is possible through God. Don't give up. Keep trying to do better. Now let's go in the book of 1 John chapter 5. 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 And all we want is verse 4. The book of 1 John 5 and 4, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Right? So if you're born of God, right, you a chosen vessel from God. God has chosen you. He's really chosen you, and you know he's dealing with you. That means you have the capability of overcoming anything that is thrown your way. And if you are a true servant of God, the Most High God of Israel, whatever is in your way, you can overcome it. But that same passage also had the word what? Faith. So you can overcome everything. But how is your faith? Do you believe you can? If you know you have an issue in the flesh, or you know you have anger issues, you know you have a problem with whatever. You might have an issue with pointing fingers. Do you believe that God can deliver you from it? So before you even get it on your knees and praying to God with anything, do you believe what you're praying for can happen? Because if you don't believe it, then you're probably wasting your time. So before you get on your knees, make sure you apply it in your heart to believe whatever you're about to pray to God that he's going to get it done. Because faith plays a big part in this conversation. So now let us go into the book of 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 11. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're sitting here looking at this conversation in verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Remember, because everything is on if you believe it or not. You know, it's easy for a thought to come in your head to be like, oh, man, I don't think this is going to happen. No, 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 no. When you pray, know it's going to happen. That's one thing I realized, is when I stop worrying about things, once I pray on it and leave it alone and go on with my life and try to be the best person I could possibly be for the Most High God, it always goes right. It might take some time. But the Lord ain't forgot. So it said fight the good fight of faith. Because it's all on if you believe you can do it or not. When you're watching basketball and you see LeBron James doing all these wonderful things on the court, why do you think he's able to do it? Because he believes he can do it. If you're Tom Brady for the NFL Buccaneers, why this man got seven rings? How does he have seven rings? Because he believes he can do it. When you look at Michelangelo, the painter, when you look at all these other ones, like Kevin Hill and stuff like that, when they do these miraculously great pictures when it comes to oil painting, because they believe they can do it. When you're looking at martial arts, when you're looking at boxing, you're looking at Mike Tyson, the Holyfield, or what's that other guy's name? Floyd Mayweather. You see their progress and how good they are because they believe they can do it. Now, just imagine us. We serve the true and living God. If they can do those things with vain and vanity that profits you nothing, what do you think we're able to do if we believe and we seek and serve the true and living God? If they can believe with vain things, just imagine we believe it in righteousness and holiness. So the one thing that I've realized is that a lot of times when we have issues with things, it's because there's a lack of faith. You know, we don't believe we can do it. We don't believe we can overcome it. We don't believe that we have the strength to be this person we know we're supposed to be. So a lot of times that messes us up when it comes to this walk. But let's just do this from now on. Before praying, put it in your heart. And with all your heart and soul, believe whatever you're about to pray for before you get on your knees and pray. Do the best you can to believe it. You know, if you got to talk to yourself all day at work or at home, before you pray, first put in your heart to believe it. I know I need this job. I believe I'm going to get this job. The Lord said in the Bible that King David said that there's two things he ain't never seen a servant. He ain't never seen a servant begging for bread nor forsaken. He ain't going to forsake me, and he ain't going to have me begging for bread. I believe that. So before I get on my knees and pray to God, I'm going to believe he's going to get me this job before I get on my knees and pray to him. I believe if I got this thorn in the flesh, I believe if I got any issues in the flesh, I believe if I got anger issues, if I have faith issues, I believe that God is going to get me what I need to get before I get on my knees and pray to him. And once you apply it in your heart to understand that and know it, pray on it, leave it alone. You know, if it's a job, pray on it, then work on it. Don't be doubting. Leave it alone and go take care of your business. If it's a sickness or somebody hurt, anything, pray on it, go back to the vineyard, go back to your life, leave it alone. go back and pray on it a couple of times. You know, it's always good to keep praying. The Lord help, you know, help me out on this. Believe it, go on with your life and be the best servant of God you can possibly be. And not to try to put a negative thought in your heart, because then that can mess things up too. Believe it, leave it alone, go on with your life and be the best servant of God you could possibly be. Now let us go into the book of Matthew, chapter 26. The book of Matthew, chapter 26. Because it's something we need to understand here. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, and we're going to pick it up at verse 41. The book of Matthew 26 and 41, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So watch your surroundings and pray and believe it. Because we need to understand. The spirit indeed in us is willing. It's willing to do great things for us, our God. Sometimes it ain't always easy to get that stuff done. It's because it is flesh, because it is weak. So this is why we need to watch and pray and fast. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but this flesh is weak. It's nothing. It makes you think of when the rich man came to the Most High, Jesus Christ. He called him good master. What should I do then to eternal life? Before Jesus answered his request, brothers and sisters, he said, why thou callest me good? They ain't done good but God. But Jesus walked this thing with perfect, and he overcame the world. And even though that he was perfect and overcame the world, he still didn't consider himself good because he was in his flesh. So this ain't no super saint thing. It's humility, humbleness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, charity. Well, we're dealing with this watch and pray. Watch your surroundings and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So don't ever think that you just too far up the food chain, you can't slip off and fall, because you're in this flesh like everybody else is. This is why humility and being humble and being gentle and meekness and temperance play a big part on who you are as a servant of God. Let us humble ourselves, but don't think you're too far up the food chain to slip off. Because we're about to read about a person who has done marvelous work in the vineyard for Most High God on this thing we just read about the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans, chapter 7. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 14. And we're going to read verses 14 through 24. The book of Romans 7, verses 14 through 24. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So when Paul is talking about you, he ain't telling you that he's out there just going crazy with everything that come to mind. No, it's that he overcame the physical part of it, but it's still lingering around in his heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, things linger around in your heart, and you trying to overcome that. It could be a big issue sometimes. So he's not doing it, but he knows that he has to overcome it in his mind. Because it said that in verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it's the sin that dwelleth in his heart, the sin that dwelleth in his mind. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So you mean to tell me, even when he know he's supposed to be doing something good, sometimes it ain't in him to do it. You know, this is why the Bible said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the reason why we're going through these scriptures like this is to let you know that these are things that servants go through at times. You know, it's not no, hey, I'm holy, I'm not messing up no days. And, you know, it's not like that. Everybody has their own battle with the flesh. And the Lord is showing us, the Lord has allowed this to be in the Bible to show us that this is not no cakewalk. This is why the Bible said fight the good fight. It's a fight. The whole thing is that you might not win every battle, but the goal is to win the war. You're in a boxing ring, and the person you fight against is just as good as you are. Y'all last 10 rounds. You win. How do you think you're going to be looking? You think you're going to be perfect teeth, nice shiny skin, no bruises? No. You fought a good fight. So you got the victory, but a couple of your teeth could be knocked out, probably a couple of jaw teeth knocked out, busted eyes on both sides, bloody nose, knots on your head, bruises on your body, lip walking. You fought a good battle. You won some. You got good punches, and you lost some good punches. But the whole thing is that you stay strong and won a war. So the outcome ain't no glooming superhero shiny thing. It's that you're going to be beat down and broken. But through the grace of God, it's a victory. Because all that fighting, all that battling you've been doing with fighting a good fight, it paid off. Now you get a crown of salvation and you get a chance to see the Father. And you get rest for everlasting. So we're overcoming ourselves. We got to fight a good fight. We got to stay in that boxing ring like my boy Pharaoh said all the time. Boy, I'm going to keep swinging until they ring the bell. Fight the good fight. But let's keep on reading. I'm going to leave verse 18 again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Right? So everybody should know what this man is talking about right now. This ain't talking about just falling all the way off. This is just keeping it real. But Paul is going to let us know something else in verse 20. Now, if I do that, I will not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he is constantly letting you know that, you know, I used to have an issue with this flesh, but I no longer do them things. But now it's the battle with my mind. Right? Think about it. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Growing up, you used to be a brawler, a fighter. You'd be quick to knock somebody out. You'd be quick to beat somebody down. Knock their teeth out their mouth before you knew God. But you no longer do it. Now what's getting you is your thoughts. Thinking about putting hands on somebody. Right? So you're not going to deliberately put your hands on them. But you're thinking it. And if you're thinking it, you're not going to do it, but you're going to say the wrong thing. You might want to cut somebody out. And like you go choke, let them beat them down every day. Because you no longer do that. But now it's attacking you in your mind and entertaining those thoughts. So this is what Paul is telling us. I no longer do these things. But I've been entertaining those thoughts. So you might not have a fighting problem, but now you might cut somebody out. You might dog their name out because of your anger, because you're not that brawler no more. But now with the thoughts that's being triggered, this is what Paul is telling us. It ain't that it's not like I'm doing anything to nobody. But how these thoughts are stepping my mind, it makes it seem like it's a lot worse than me doing it. Because if you know you're a fighter, you know you're good at fighting, you ain't no need for you to brag. And it don't even bother, it don't even be on your thought, it don't even be on your mind to do anything like that. But you do know if it come down to it, you're gonna beat somebody down. But now all of a sudden, I don't beat people down no more. But now it's in my mind all day. With anger, wrath, and being bitter and stuff like that. Because these are things we have to overcome. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So don't think just because you put in good work in the vineyard that it's going to be all happily and dandily. Why you think we read in the Bible, in the book of Matthew 26-41, it said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 21, it said that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Because when you're doing good, you still got to realize and be in recognition that you're still in this flesh, and you got to be on guard at all times. Because it's easy to go ahead, and it's easy for that flesh to act up. You might want to be doing good, you might want to be doing this, you might want to be doing that. But then the wrong phone call come up, you know? Now you lazy when you get home. You don't want to do what you say you was going to do. Now the wrong person calls you. Now you talking crazy on the phone. You supposed to be doing book, but now you want to go ahead and go out and go kick it for a little bit. These things happen at times. But this is why we need to be girded up. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once we understand that, we'll be able to play our part better when that time comes. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Right? That's all of us. We all delight in the Lord God in our hearts and our minds. Because we always want to do what's right. We always want to do everything right that we read. And we even think and put ourselves in a position of doing this righteousness. Be like, oh, we gotta be happy if you see me doing this. Oh, we need to be happy. Right? Because we delight to do what's right. And the Lord knows we delight to do what's right. You know, you can sit back like, oh, God is good. He blessed me with a good day. He blessed me with a job. You know, I'm going to go do something nice for the Lord. Let me go ahead and go to the charity house or something, do a donation. You know, it's like we always want to do things to impress God. We always want to do things to impress the Father that's in heaven. We always do, and God see that. Because we delight... For we delight in the law of God after the inward man. We delight in God all day and night in our minds. But we also have a problem, every last one of us. We also have a problem. And the problem is in verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So we always got a good thought process, guys. But you better believe a negative thought will sling its way up in there. But now it's going to be a battle. Are you going to let the righteous side override the wickedness, or is the wickedness going to overtake your thoughts and have you messed up? It's a battle. Some days that wicked thought might win. Some days the good thoughts go win. But the whole thing is a battle. This is what Paul is talking. Paul is talking to us about this right now. It's all a battle. Which side is stronger? And it got to the point that it was bad for Paul. In verse 24, he just let you know, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is a battle, brothers and sisters. Not no super saint, no super Hebrew thing. You ain't talking about none of that. I'm letting you know that when you overcoming yourself, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be just walking into the refrigerator and getting yourself something to eat. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take patience with yourself. It's going to have to be long-suffering. It's going to be going through studies. You know, it's going to be so many things you got to do in your within yourself. These things is not just going to just, you think just because you know it's going to go away? No. It takes practice. Practicing on yourself. Practice on yourself. When them negative thoughts start coming, talk to yourself. You'd be surprised how well you do when you talk to yourself in righteousness. When them negative thoughts start coming, when them wicked thoughts start coming, when them lustful thoughts start coming, talk to yourself in righteousness. Anger coming. Okay, now I got this anger now. I need to check it. Why am I thinking like this? Even though that person just did that to me, how many times have I sinned against God? You know, talk to yourself. You a married man or a married woman. Somebody coming towards your way, they're looking all so good. Talk to yourself. Is this worth losing everything I have? Is it worth it? Talk to yourself. In your mind. And see what the outcome is going to be. But Paul is letting us know in verse 24, man, he got to the point he called himself an old wretched man that he is. And that's just basically just calling himself Raka, which means worthless. You shouldn't call yourself that, but Paul just let you know, man, that's how I feel. Who feels good after sinning if you know you're not supposed to be? Who's happy with their shortcomings? I ain't happy with none of them. And it makes me, and it messes my whole day up, because we're not of this world. But the whole thing is that practice makes perfect. Fight the good fight. Keep going. Overcome yourself. Now let us go into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because Paul seemed like he beat down. Paul seemed like he kind of messed up. Paul looking like, man, I don't know where to go. It's getting messed up for me. But do you think that stopped Paul from fighting a good fight? Let's see if his shortcomings stopped him from fighting a good fight. Let's see if he held on straight for the Most High God. Let us go into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And what we're going to do is read verses 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. Because we read in Romans 7, 14 through 24, Paul seemed like he just let you know that, hey, I'm a little down right now. I got these issues just like y'all do. They're not the outside appearance issue, but the battles in my mind. Let's see if he overcame these battles in his mind. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And brothers and sisters, we're going to pick it up at verse 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 8. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So you think because he had those thorns in that battle in his heart, you think that stopped him from trying to do the best he can to perform for the Most High God on whatever level he's on? No, that didn't stop him, because the Lord said a just man falls seven times and get back up. So I don't care how bad things get. If you smart, you better find a way to get back up. You might be doing. You might have gotten into something that got you so ashamed. You might have said or did something that got you so ashamed. It'd be a wise thing to get back up. Because who knows why? The Lord might did that just to see how you react to it. Who knows? But no matter how rough life gets, get back up and still do the best you can to overcome whatever issue you have. Because we already read the first two verses. If you don't, we don't overcome these things or do the best we can to put a control on these things, it's not looking good for us. But the whole thing is to keep fighting. Keep fighting. You're going to fall, get back up. You're going to fall again, get back up. You may fall harder next time, get back up. Keep fighting no matter what you do, no matter what you have done. You're still alive? Do the best you can and try to be the best person you can be for the Most High God. Because things were going good with Paul, but he kept fighting. He let us know that, man, I fall so good, I know I got a crown for me. I know I got the first resurrection. And I know I got a throne. Not just to me, but to everybody else that loved his appearance. Everybody else who's trying to fight this thing right. Everybody else who fall down and having trouble getting back up. Still get back up. Keep fighting. Overcome you at all times. And understand that it said, fight the good fight. So ain't no perfect day every day. It means you're going to get knocked out, but get back up. It means you'll get pushed down the stairs. Drag your body back up. Some days you're going to see it come into a good counter block. It might be a couple of days you'll be counter blocking good. But it might be one day you get punched in the stomach because you didn't see it coming. You follow the flow, get back up, and keep pushing forward for salvation. But Paul finished his fight. He has finished his course because he didn't give up. No matter how bad Romans 7 was for him, he kept going. And this is the same thing we're supposed to be doing. No matter how bad things get, don't throw the towel in. Keep going. So now let us go into the book of Revelation chapter 3. Because this is the one that really caught my attention putting this lesson together about fighting a good fight. Because it doesn't take much, you know. It's just a couple of things we got to do and understand that this is where we are. We're in the book of Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3. And what we're going to do is just read one verse, and that's verse 8. The book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So why are they getting salvation? Why is the Lord going to be with them? It's because they kept a little strength. Remember, you're fighting a good fight. You think you're going to be all powerful and super strong every day? No. But no matter how bad life gets, you still kept strength in the Most High God. You still held on. So when you're fighting a good fight, ain't no super Hebrew thing. You know, you might have times, you know, you might be having times that you're trying your best to overcome yourself. But whatever you're doing, man, just have some strength in whatever you're doing. Don't give it up. Because the book just said that I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Didn't the Bible say if you have the faith of a mustard seed, he'll deal, it can be done? The whole thing is that in verse 8, what I'm looking at is just telling us, just hold on. Do the best you can to overcome you. And just hold on. keep that strength. It might not be 100, but hell, if all you got is 30%, I'll take that. That's enough to get the job done. Be strong and hold on. Let's go to the book of Proverbs 24 and 16. Book of Proverbs 24 and 16. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see, the wicked go fall down and lay all in the dirt. But the wicked, you know, we'll slip and fall, but we're going to get back up and dust ourselves off and keep it going. Do the best you can to overcome yourself, brothers and sisters. Because we got to understand something. We're looking at overcoming. We're looking at fighting a good fight. We're looking at what we need to do to get away from this lake of fire. We understand the thought process. We understand that sometimes it's no longer the things that we do, but it's the thoughts that's in our heart that's attacking us and where our battle lays at. We know these things. But remember, faith plays a big part. So in order to overcome it, it is very important for us to go into the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews 11. And all we want is verse 6. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we got to understand something. Ain't nothing going to pop off or be happening if you don't believe it. This is why earlier in the precept I told you, before you get on your knees, apply it in your heart that whatever you're going to pray is going to get done. Beat that down in your mind before getting on your knees and praying. And once you get that strength of faith in your heart, then go and pray on it. And leave it alone and let God deal with it. And that's to believe it's going to happen. Because in order to fix yourself, in order to overcome who you are, the very first thing we need to understand is that the faith, it is impossible to please him if you don't believe it can get done. So we want it done. We gotta believe him. We gotta believe he's gonna do it. Now let's go to the book of Matthew 21. The book of Matthew 21. Book of Matthew 21. Book of Matthew 21. And what we're going to do is read verses 22. The book of Matthew 21, we're going to read verses 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So if you believe it, right, you'll get it. You got an anger issue, you know, you got battles in the flesh or anything to that degree. Believe you're gonna be delivered from it. And the Lord will take care of it for you. Amen. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6, just two verses, verses 5 and 6. The book of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. and do not lean into our own understanding. Remember, sometimes that's easier said than done. This is why we need to stay close to the pages of the book and make sure you read it and understand it for yourself. And get you a note and write the things down that you need to write down. So we should not lean into our own understanding. This is why we should not lean into our own understanding. Let's go in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. The book of Jeremiah 17. And what we're going to do is pick it up in verse 9. The book of Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's all our mind. Without the word of God and leaning on understanding, this is what we lean into. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And just in case you want to know what it means when it says, who can know it, all that means is that don't nobody know what's on your mind but you yourself. Somebody could walk into your face smiling. You don't know if they're thinking about doing some hurt to you. You don't know if they're lusting after you. You don't know. So we don't know what's on another man's mind or woman's mind. But the reason why we should not lean into our own understanding is because our heart is desperately wicked above all things, and it's very deceitful. So this is why we should only take heed to what's written in the pages of the book. So now let us go into the last place of this precept. So just in case we have any anger issues, any wrath, any lasciviousness, you know, anything that's an offense to us and getting to the kingdom, and we have been entertaining these things, let's keep fighting, let's do better. And just in case, if we have, let's go into the last scripture of this precept, and let's ask the Most High God to give us mercy and be merciful unto our sin and hold not our sins against us. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 51, and this is last. The book of Psalms chapter 51. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. The book of Psalms 51, verses 1 through 12. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. All praise to the Father, in Jesus' name. He who overcometh shall not be in danger of the lake of fire, right? So the whole thing is to overcome. Don't put yourself in a position to be no super saint, but just day by day with patience and long suffering and to focus on yourself, on your shortcomings, is a way for us to overcome ourselves. And by putting our faith in God and believing in God and to understand that when you pray, believe that it'll happen on whatever shortcoming we have. Believe that the Most High God will get us through it. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding of this precept. The name of the precept is called, He Who Overcomes Shall Not Be in Danger of the Lake of Fire. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
All right, amen, my brother, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to ask you one question. Did you read from the book of James chapter 1? I didn't catch it.
No, we didn't read James today.
Okay. I think this was, we were on this last night. Your precept lines up with it perfectly. I just want to reiterate something. I just want to reiterate something this morning in conjunction with your precept from the book of James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8.
Hey, shut up.
Verses 6 through 8, because this is paramount to our salvation. It's paramount to our walk. And when we are, you know, I like how you brought it out, that most people are struggling with the battles in their mind. Hopefully we're not still out there fist fighting. You know, you might think about doing that, but you're not really going to do it. But the main point of your precept was believing when you pray that you're going to receive what you ask. If you pray without faith, then you're really praying amiss. So I just wanted to add John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 to your precept for today. But let him ask in faith. Well, actually, I probably need verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, not doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yah. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have to understand when the precept that you brought forth today, when we are praying to the Most High, if we waver, if we doubt, if we're double-minded, the Most High said, you're not going to get what you're praying for. You're not going to receive it. And so it's that faith is it's ultimate, even to the work that the Most High set us to do. So I want to give you a hand clap of praise for this precept, and I thank Yah for allowing you to bring it this morning. And again, well done, my brother.
Amen.
If anyone who is listening would like to add, has a comment, just press the number 1.
Hello?
Shalom, Brother Keith.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom, Keith.
Shalom. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Brother Keith. That's brother. That's my brother, Pastor. I wanted to say Butterbean, but I can't say that. Pastor Jones.
Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Oh, get the Most High praise. That was a beautiful lesson, Aki. Hallelujah. Amen. Truly enjoyed
Amen.
That. Now, I'd like to, first of all, ask you, where did you, I'm writing these notes down and, where was that Jeremiah? You came from Jeremiah what? What did you say that was from?
Jeremiah 17 and 9.
17 and 9. Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I just thank the Most High. This was a beautiful, beautiful lesson. Beautiful, powerful lesson.
Oh,
amen. Hallelujah. And like I said, it is so true that we must truly believe before we go in prayer. We must grab hold to is believing in the power of Yah all around us and in us. When you really believe his presence, it really helps us. When you believe, not
Amen.
Just believe in what you ask for, believe in his presence. His presence is so full in the earth and around us and in us. When you really believe in that, that's the same way when a person asks, amen, Yah, to fill him with his spirit. They must believe
Amen.
In his presence. Hallelujah, till you receive them. And I'm telling you, it's such reverence and fear when we do believe in his presence. You will feel yourself trembling. You will feel yourself, and then reverence him in a way, hallelujah, that you are being very careful in how we walk and how we talk. Man, I just really enjoyed that. He that overcometh. Man, God bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you enjoyed it, bro. What's your name again, sir?
Yeah. This is Pastor Jones. You remember Pastor Kenneth Jones?
Oh, amen. Pastor Kenneth Jones. Hey, grace and peace, bro. Glad to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, grace and peace to you also, Aki. Amen.
All right. 763-438. You're live.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, Shalom.
Nice to hear you, Brother Miles. And you too, Brother Isaiah. I missed you. Awesome lesson.
Oh,
brother.
I miss you too, sir.
Awesome lesson.
Thank you.
You said the same thing that we always be saying. If you don't believe in the Father, the rest of it ain't going to make no difference to you. You ain't going to believe it either. You're absolutely
Amen.
Right. Awesome lesson.
Amen.
I pray for you, brothers. Thank you so much.
Amen, my sister. The Father is merciful.
All right. 612-384.
612-384.
You're live. Shabbat
Shalom.
All right, Shalom.
Hey,
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You can
hear
me.
Yes,
sir.
Can you hear me?
Shalom, bro.
Right. Hey, grace and peace, that's it, my brothers. You know, how y'all doing?
Peaceful.
We're all good, brothers.
All right, for sure. Yeah, you know, grace and peace to my brothers and sisters and everybody out here, you know, listening to the show. You know, it's Brother Keith. You know, I want to say, you know, it's, you know, that's that was a great lesson, brother. You know what I'm saying? Only the Lord knows your heart, you know. You know, when he mentioned, he'd be like, he talked to you In dreams of dreams and visions of visions in the slumbering of your bed. And when I thought about that, and he was like talking about he comes like a thief in the night, that's another way, because he say he come like at the speed of light. So if you sit in your bed before you even thinking, he already prepared you for whatever you're going to do, whether you prepare for war or to go to work or anything of that sort. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that people lack patience and things of that sort, but, you know, it's what he be talking about, you know, about people about, he calls it, he's like, oh, ye of little faith, you know. And as you mentioned earlier, he was like, if ye have least the faith of a mustard seed, ye faith shall increase. But I know in all this time, whatever we go through, the Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle. So he always mentions, he says, sit and wait upon the Lord. Excellent lesson, excellent precept, brothers and sisters. With that, I close.
All right. Amen, Brother Keith.
Thank you.
320-330. You're live.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Grace and peace. Grace and peace.
Hey,
I just Hey, Brother Isaiah. Hey, Brother Miles and family. Grace and peace.
Hello.
Thank you, Lord, for this blessed, peaceful, quiet Sabbath. It's nothing like the day of rest, I tell you. And I just want to thank you, Brother Isaiah, for reminding us how to overcome so that we won't be in danger of the lake of fire. Amen. And when you read that revelation, you started out with Revelation 20:15 with that book of life. I'm just praying that the Most High God of Israel finds us worthy and that we're written in that book of life. Because remember, he said the books were open. So you have that book of life, and then you also have that book of knowledge of good and evil. So which book do you want to be written in? And I just wanted to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, which says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Amen. Amen. So, in the mighty name of Jesus, everyone remember, it is a spiritual warfare going on. And the first thing you got to do, and I made my children read this Ephesians 6, 1 through, the whole thing, but 10 through 18 every morning before they went to school, and they still do it now as young ladies, as young adults. They read this every morning they wake up to remind them that they're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, and that they need to put their armor on and remind them who they serve, the God that we serve, and that they have power and dominion and authority as he has given us, as it says in Genesis. He has given us those things, but we got to believe that. And I just want to tell you, Brother Isaiah, I know I can go on and on, but it's just so many things running through my head. I just want to tell you, thank you for reminding us to put that armor on, to stand strong, to have that faith, to practice the fruits of the Spirit daily so we won't dwell in darkness and won't be a part of that dark world, that spiritual realm of darkness, and be in the light and be about the light. Amen. So grace and peace be unto you, razor blade and lemon juice, baby. That's what you just did to me to remind me just to stand firm in the Lord and how to overcome so I won't be in danger of the lake of fire. Amen.
Amen. I can't believe I forgot to say that this morning. Thanks for reminding me. This lesson was pure razor blade and lemon juice. I forget. Forgive me, y'all.
Thank you for it.
Amen.
All right, amen. All right, Brother Isaiah, do you have any closing words?
I got a little something. Well, first thing first is that I think God is so good, y'all. I got a little testimony. God is so good. You know, my battery erupted in my phone, lost every single thing, commission, everything, you know. Trying to keep up on rent and stuff like that, trying to pay things off, trying to get things done. I'm like, oh, Lord, please bless me with a phone. And I thought about that faith. Believe he's going to get you a phone, and he's going to do it. So I don't know if you guys know or not like that, you know, just on the faith thing. So I had to go up there to Xfinity yesterday to get a phone. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to pay no $120, $130, $200 for no phone. Come to figure out that Xfinity has a plan if you're not up under a contract about any other phone, that you can actually go there to their company, you know, if you have the Wi-Fi service or any type of cable service, to issue a phone. They have really brand new, nice phones. And the Lord allowed me to get a very, very, very nice phone. Very nice phone. Unlimited everything. Where I can do all my stuff to the point that I ain't got nothing to do, right? For $34, I was able to leave out that place with $34, and I'm telling you, I don't have the best credit. My credit will make you laugh at me, you know, and it just shows the power of God, man, and what Lord knows what you need to, you know, to give me a better service, unlimited everything, you know, to a point. It was just one day I'm like, what am I going to do? And then just seeing the power and mercy of God the next day, he got you happy. God is good, so that's the first thing. So, I know you have my phone number, Brother Mal. Sister Rare, I know you have my number. But if anybody else on the podcast show, Sister Rare or Brother Mal or Keith, you guys are more than welcome to send that number out. Just send through a text message or else I won't pick the phone up. So you got to text me first or I'm not picking it up. But other than that, getting back with the precept, you know, like I said, I really wanted this precept to be in the life view on no matter what you have done in your life, don't give up. Is what I really wanted everybody to understand in this precept. Because remember, you might put yourself on a high pedestal, but the Lord knows exactly where your pedestal was at. So that's why you read the Bible. When you read the Bible in the book of Matthew, it said that, you know, it called it a measurement. The Lord knows everybody's measurement. So you might think you high above the top notch, but the Lord knows you only at the middle. You know? So we got to understand mercy on so many ways and areas. You know, and this is why you don't want to beat yourself up too bad. You know your mistake and do the best you can to learn from your mistake and do better. But the whole thing is, this whole thing is a fight. It's a fight. It's fight a good fight. If it's fight a good fight, it's a brawl. It's a melee. It's an all-out battle between yourself. Once you find yourself approved unto God for salvation, you're going to have two black eyes, broken nose, a broken jaw, no jaw teeth at all. You know, and you're going to limp your way into salvation. So no matter how bad things get, keep going. Stay strong. And put your faith in Most High God. And I give the mic. Back to you, brother.
And amen. Great encouraging and closing words. We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate the word that you brought this morning. For announcements on this evening, we will be continuing in Reaping Souls for the Kingdom, Our Witness. We're going to close out that precept. I pray everybody join us. I know that you will be blessed as we finish up on our witness and what the Most High is calling us to do in our walk in the kingdom. So join us this evening, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, for Reaping Souls for the Kingdom as we finish up this precept. Also, I've been having some people, the Most High has been putting some people in my heart. Brother Keith, Yah has had you on my mind. And prepare yourself. Yeah, you win, but prepare yourself. I want you to bring a priest up. As the Most High puts it on your heart. Yah is able to do and to straighten us all. And sometimes we just need a reason to be straight. So prepare yourself, brother. Pastor Jones, I also want to invite you, we'll talk offline, to bring a precept to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Whatever the Most High puts on your heart. We want to walk. We want to be encouraged. We want to be lifted up. And we want to be thankful that we are the people of the Most High. So I want to encourage everyone, be back this evening so that we can finish up Reaping Souls for the Kingdom. And let us pray. Let's all turn toward the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Father, we thank you right now for the word that you have given to us this morning. Father, for the nourishment of our bodies. Father, let each and every person faith be increased that they may understand and know that when they come before you in prayer, believe what they are asking for, not doubting in any way, that you will answer their prayers and you will give them the desires of their heart or what they need, especially in regards to the kingdom work. Father, we encourage each and every person to look and see the gift that Yah has given you and how you might use it in the furtherance of the kingdom, how you might use it to bring souls unto Yah. Let our lives be a witness. Now, Father, as we go our separate directions, Father, let us come back again at the appointed time. May you encamp your angels around us. May you keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until the appointed time, shalom.
What can I do if I don't?